I want to introduce our speaker here. The first one is Pastor Monty. And I'd like you to turn to, I'm introducing him, but it'll take me an hour. No, I'm joking. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 9, and I want to say something about God answering prayer. God answering prayer. Wow. Years ago in the ministry way up in Maine, summer of 1972, there were early morning prayer meetings. And we had no mission. We had no missions anywhere in the world. Some of you might remember that. Maybe you're from that era. Just raise your hand. 1972 up in Maine, there's one. There's one, two, okay, three. I remember your mom. I remember his mom, Pastor Tim's mom. Oh, by the way, if you're an overseeing pastor, I just would like you to stand up because I just want to see you. Just stand up for a moment. If you're an overseeing pastor, just how many are in the congregation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Pastor Larry, wow, you and Bev, man. How many want to move to Cyprus? Come on. Let's go. Let's go. You know, when I get in more trouble, I'm not in enough yet, but if I get more, I'm heading over to Cyprus. Okay. So, Here is the message. This is beautiful. In those prayer meetings, there was faith and vision. And God sent people into parts of the world. And that coming from this text, Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus, you could stop with that word, Jesus. Jesus, who? Jesus. Does he care? He cares. He went through out all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Who is Jesus Christ but the one healing and preaching and loving and talking and listening and praying and caring for people. There's a group of people in Laos up next to China near Vietnam. And Vietnam is a country, Hanoi, north, the capital, I think it's, is it Ho Chi Minh City now? I don't know. Doesn't matter, but to think about it, and people that Jesus cares about. And Jesus sending people, God sending people. Look at the verse, chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And there it is. He cried, he wept, he cared, he felt it. He saw the crowds. He saw what could happen. He saw their potential. He saw them. He loved them. He just saw common people, people with a wife and a child and a dog and a house and something broken and a broken heart or an addiction or a terrible sin that's destroying their life. He saw them and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. This is English Standard Version, ESV. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So in those prayer meetings, I honestly feel all through these years that the prayer meetings that happen in your church and in the ladies' meetings and home Bible studies get... If you're an overseeing pastor, be sure you got a team of people behind you in the ministry praying. Be sure your church has saturated prayer. Yeah, prayer, sometimes all night prayer, sometimes a couple hours prayer. Maybe it's a few people, but it's prayer, and it works. And we didn't know it at the time, but around the world, in different parts of the world, there were men, quality men and women, that had something in their heart for God. They wanted God. And it happened that people went and they had a calling and something happened in their hearts. And they became leaders and pastors and servants, and they cared. The Holy Spirit came in them. And you could go around the planet and you can see, okay, Pastor Gromov, Pastor Teplov, Pastor Misha, Pastor Majek, Pastor Mariusz, Pastor Chaba, Pastor Bendigus. You can go around the world, Pastor Dragon, Pastor Michel Texier, Pastor Stan, Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Satellite, Pastor Plunkett. You can go around the world. There are a lot. And where are these people coming from? But this is it, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I don't mean, I'm mentioning the leaders or the pastors that lead others, but I mean many, all kinds of people, teenagers and all kinds of people, and they are laborers. They learn to lead somebody to Christ. They learn to share their faith. They learn to minister to people. They learn to talk. They learn to talk. I've told our church here many times, I belong to a health club, and in the steam room, that's where I do a lot of talking. Yeah, I talk to people I don't know. And if they don't want to hear me, that's okay, because I stop talking, because I respect that. But many of them are very warm and friendly people who don't mind the conversation. And I don't say that I lead them to the Lord, but I do say that what you have in you, if you are a churchgoer and you are being fed, then those thoughts and that heart is something that's needed in our society. It's needed in our neighborhood. That heart of love and that heart of listening and that heart of care. Beautiful. Because look at what happens. Jesus said to pray, and therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Lord, please, Lord, send out. You could even say, send them out across the street. Send them out to my neighbor, the backyard. Send them out to the local parent-teacher group. Send them out to the YMCA. Send them out to the NFL. Send them out to the golf or the NBA, or send them out to the chess club, or send them out to the university. Send them out into the community. Send them out with hearts and love and faith. And then, yes, send them to other countries. Send them out, Lord. This is our prayer. And then that we would open our mouth as we ought to make known. And it says that the mystery of Christ might be known. Not hard, like the mystery of Christ. That would be made. Paul said, pray for me that I would make known the mysteries of Christ, the love of Christ. So I want to thank everybody for coming here this week. It's been a great time, and that the Lord will really minister to us in these next few days. And we've received so much this morning. The Latinos are great preachers, aren't they? Passionate, clarity, authority. Wow, that was awesome. Spirit of God and ministry of Christ. So what happened that Pastor Matti's young man was one of them, as well as many others in Finland. And that can be said in many parts of the world. And let's keep at it, thinking about it and praying that the Lord will send laborers into the field. And thank you, Lord, for these great people of faith. Yeah, I don't think we would go without faith. I know we wouldn't go. I don't think we would go. I remember years ago, a man said, you take a paper right down, all the reasons you can't go. You cannot go. I cannot go. My children. I cannot go. My finance. I cannot go. My job. I cannot go. And my health. And I cannot go. And then he said, you just take that and just go like this and then go. And then go. Wow. Huh? Amazing. So, Pastor Monty, we love you. Come on up and share something.
Thank you for holding back your comments about the color of my shirt. Most of you did, not all of you. Traveling missionary, there are not so many options. When Pastor Schaller was pastoring us in Finland, oh, we loved him, and we still love him. But we were so privileged to have him. Really, we were so privileged. And there was a time when Pastor Stevens had mentioned that China will open. And it was so amazing just that we believed that. And then Pastor Schaller started speaking in Finland and saying, we will go to China. And we Finns, you know, when we heard that, the first question that came to our heart, we said, is it allowed? Because we are very civil, obedient people. Like, we didn't think that it was allowed for us to go to China. So, but he spoke that vision and he said, let's plan on it. And I think for 1 year there was a group of people. They got an extra job. They started saving money. And it happened. And I followed that group form and them go and then come back. And when they came back, they had seen something that they could never forget. They had seen the work of God. And today I had the privilege to be with our Chinese brothers and in the afternoon. And I remembered that. And I asked them to sing. I just wanted to hear a Chinese worship. And it was so beautiful. And it was not just beautiful, but it was so powerful. It had such an authority. And I thought about it. I could have been just listening to that for the rest of my life and be so content. Because there was that recognition of the presence of God there. And that eternal point of view that really continues carrying us. That what we have seen during the years. We have seen too much to ignore it. We have seen too much so that we would say this is not real. We have seen so much the work of God. And I just want to say a couple of words about prayer. I want to read from Luke 18. There was a time, 1 weekend we were going to go and visit one of our Bedouin families in the countryside of Oman. And then something happened, you know, how always something happened. And I called the father of the family and I said, so sorry, we cannot come this time. So he said, try again. And I said, what do you mean try again? He said, try again to come. And it hit me, really. It was like so amazing to hear that from him. And I understood, yeah, actually, most probably I just didn't even try. Like, you know, there was that appreciation of our friendship and our life. And I think that often we give up on people too easy. You know, we ask somebody to do something nowadays and we send a message and say, could you do this? But if you cannot, it's okay. Try again. I often recall that Pastor Stevens used to tell that story about, I think several stories about him visiting somebody and going for the how many times back to the same door and to the same man. And that's God's heartbeat, not to give up on people, but to continue. And here in Luke 18, I just looked at it very differently today when I was reading it this morning, but I want to read the whole passage from verse 1 to 8. Are these lights supposed to be like this? Okay. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears she weary me. Sorry. Then the Lord said, hear what that unjust judge said. I read like an old man here. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And this can be a very confusing story. It's like, you know, at this, I have been sometimes confused. I'm thinking, who is that judge and who is God? Is God that judge? And like, you know, there's like some kind of a mess here. But of course there's no mess. But as I was praying about it, it's clear to me that there is another kind of a prayer that is not just a prayer to God, but it is against the spiritual evil and the satanic powers that hold people in bondage. And this is the kind of prayer that we are often ignoring and neglecting in our work, when actually the Bible teaches that the whole world is blinded and is in the bondage of the cosmocrator, the ruler of this universe, of this atmosphere, which is Satan. So there is this kind of a prayer that is like, we could call it, maybe some would call it spiritual warfare, some would call it like, you know, whatever kind of prayer, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that there is a prayer ministry that continues to go against the kingdom of darkness, binding the enemy, resisting the enemy, demanding the enemy to let people loose, let people go. There is that kind of a prayer, and it is applicable in our lives with our relatives, with our friends, with the nations where we have been brought, and we continue doing that. And we do it once, and then we try again, and we continue doing that. And it's an amazing ministry and a very important part of our evangelism, because we are dealing with demonic powers That's obvious. The longer we evangelize and do mission work around the world, we understand that there is a spiritual battle going on. And that's what we are part of. And we are part of that with our little understanding, but with great authority. I'm saying little understanding, but with great authority. Because we have been actually sent by Jesus Christ. We have not been just forgotten here in the world and then he'll pick up us later. We have been sent with this authority. And I'm very encouraged when I'm reading about this because it's easy to give up. You know, living in Azerbaijan in the early days of our ministry, we had a lot of like these cross-cultural issues we had to learn how to be. And one of the funny things was that in Azerbaijan, when you have guests coming and then you ask them, do you want to have tea? They would always say no. But then you had to ask again 3 times. And we learned that, like, you know, you cannot just say once, no, and then, okay, we would, with our mentality, would, okay, he doesn't want tea, that's it. But of course he wants, but there is a whole procedure, you have to go through that whole thing. And then some of our team members were joking about it, and they would always say, do you want to have tea? Do you want to have tea? Do you want tea? To hit the meat of the matter, you know, let's get there. But that's the way how it is in spiritual battle also. Let's not take no for an answer. Let's continue going against the evil one for nations, for people, for families, for marriages, for relationships with relatives. Let's not give up. Try again. And I think that, you know, this is God's heartbeat. You know, in Isaiah 5, verse 4, when in that chapter where God is speaking about he planted a vineyard and he did this and this and this and this, and then he is saying finally that, what more could I have done? Like, is there still something that I didn't do? And this is in missions, this is continues to be our question. Like, is there something more that we could do? What more could we do? How could we do it differently? What more could we do? That movie, that list. The movie, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that movie, it's amazing, that last episode there, when this man who had been saving the Jewish people by taking them to work in his factory, and then he is at the end, he's sitting there, and he's thinking, like, what more, I could have saved so much more. And he takes the ring from his finger, and he says, with this I could have taken so many more out. What more could I do? And it's a good call for us. Because it's very easy to fall asleep and take no for an answer. But we are not that kind of people. We are the kind of people who say, do you want to have tea? Do you want to have tea? Do you want to have tea? We go further. And I'm here just to encourage that maybe there is a vision that you have been part of to a particular country or nation, and it didn't happen or it didn't go so well. And I'm here to say, try again. Amen.
All right. Praise God. Wow, we've heard of ministering angels in the Bible, but you guys have ministering faces. I agree with Pastor Colbert. Thank you. Beautiful. Yeah, as you are standing, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for all that we've heard tonight, this week. We don't know why you love us, but you do. And we thank you for that. And we ask you, Lord, just to speak in these next few moments to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I just want to take a moment and just ask all of our people, all the Canadians, all the crazy Canucks who came down with me. Some arrived tonight, including my second son. So if you're here from Canada, please stand for a moment. Yes. Yes. Down here. Nice. My beautiful wife. Awesome, guys. Thank you. Thanks for being here tonight. Actually, we also have two sisters from Mexico. We met them in the springtime in Montreal. They're students, and, you know, they came to the church, and when they were leaving for Mexico, I just said, hey, why don't you come to convention? And they came. And they flew in from Mexico to San Diego, and they were catching a flight on Monday, so they went to the gate, and they said the pilot never came. That's like, that's a job that you just can't not show up for work for, you know, like, if you're a pilot, you gotta go to work. So anyway, but they're here. And then praise God. I don't know where they are, they're here somewhere. But you know what? I'm just saying that because we came to convention and God showed up. And God is here, amen? And we love it. Thank you, Lord. You are here. So, praise God. Yeah. All right, you guys are feisty. That's great. Okay, just before we look back to Ephesians 3, I just want to look at a little story here that we know well in Luke 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fails not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Okay, the theme this year is immovable. And Jesus is addresses Peter here because Peter is the leader. But if you read it in the Greek, he's just addressing the leadership, but he's actually speaking to all of them. Like Satan's desire to sift all of you, you know, as wheat. So number one thing we learn from that is that Satan has a desire, and his desire's towards us. And he wants to shake us. He wants to sift us. That's the bad news, right? And we've all been there. But the good news is that Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Jesus is praying for them. He's praying for Peter. He's praying for them. He's praying for us. Hebrews 7:25. Romans 8, it says the Holy Spirit is groaning for us. When we don't know even what to pray, because we're sifted, and we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit is groaning for us, interceding for us. And that's a beautiful thought for us tonight, how Jesus is praying. But not that they won't be sifted. That wasn't his prayer. Jesus was praying that Peter, excuse me, and the disciples would not somehow avoid the turmoil. And that's really what sifting is. It's turmoil in our lives. We all go through it, you know. But it's good to know this. Satan has to desire it. He has to ask about it. Because God is in charge. God is in charge of our lives. God is in charge, no matter what you're going through tonight. God is in charge of your life. But Satan desires to sift you. And Jesus is praying. Because Satan wants to destroy. That's what he likes. But in this case, he says, he wants to sift. Which really, it speaks about a method of a beating. Of a, like clubbing. Clubbing wheat. They would club it. And, you know, they would flick it in the air and the chaff would be taken by the wind. And the wheat, you know, the good wheat would be separated and it would fall to the ground. And that which remained was the wheat and that was good. So this is what Jesus said Peter would go through. You and these men, you're going to go through some clubbing. You're going to go through some sifting. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. Your faith, the body of doctrine, the teaching that you have received, all that I have taught you these 3.5 years of Bible college, everything I have taught you, it would not fail you. This is what Jesus is praying that will take effect and it would remain in Peter, in his life, even though he may get beaten down by the enemy. So the reality of the word of God, what he was taught would remain. That faith in you won't fail. But you will be converted. You will fail, but you will be converted. And he says this, then when you are converted, strengthen your brother. And this is the third part or the fourth part, I'm not sure. You will strengthen your brother. And Jesus' prayer is answered. He's telling them, my prayer will be answered. You will be converted. And this word converted, you know, if we heard Pastor Stan's illustration today, you know, he says Jesus is going this way to Jerusalem and everybody's like, but we should be going this way to Galilee because that way is risky, but this way is safe. And we all love our safe spaces. So let's go this way. And Jesus says, I'm going this way. But conversion is this. I make the wrong decision and I go to the safe way. But then God speaks to my heart and he converts me and there's a U-turn and I go with Jesus. That's what he was praying. That was his prayer. You are going to go the wrong direction. You will deny me, but I will pray for you that all that you have learned, that your faith will not fail you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That's my prayer for you. So, all you have received will be challenged. Perhaps as never before, Peter. But I'm praying for you. That it'll go beyond your just experiencing emotions. This emotional love. Beyond religion, right? This is what we heard last night in the message in the first page. Of the illustration, the religion. I could be so religious. I could be emotional. I could be looking for an experience of God. And there's going to be a sifting for that part of our lives. God's going to take care of that. And I'm so thankful for this ministry. What have I learned? What has this ministry taught me? I came into the ministry in 1990, end of 89, 1990. And what have I learned in this ministry? I've learned a lot. I've learned to love the Word of God. That's the, you know, all these years of an investment in my life, you know, and also my precious wife, she's a younger age. She came into the ministry as a teenager. And all the investments, right, in her life. And now our children are part of the ministry. They are learning. They are growing in the Word of God. They've learned to love the Word of God. The finished work teaching. What a blessing that is. Isn't that amazing? Like, I am so grateful for Pastor Schauer. I'm so grateful for all the men that have come here sharing from this pulpit. All of your lives. The body of Christ. Your investment in us. You didn't just invest in me. You invested in my kids. You invested in my wife. You invested in our church. That's you. This place. I am so thankful. You know, the psalmist said this, I'd rather be a doorkeeper right? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. This is this place, the house of God. Praise God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We are looking for conversion in our lives. We know that God is looking for that. Jesus is praying for conversion in our lives. Just like Peter. For what reason? So we too can go and strengthen the brethren. That's the reason. But I can be born again. I could be a believer, yet I can have doctrine that is engulfed in chaff. I can have ideas that are engulfed in chaff. And it needs to be sifted in order for it to be profitable for my life. For what remains to be profitable. So Peter, at this point, we follow his life. He's an emotional believer. Sometimes he was on, and sometimes he was off. Oh, though everybody abandoned you, I will never abandon you. I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. That's what he said next, right? Okay, that's the emotional. He's emotional in his love for Christ. It's an emotional response. But he would also be spiritual at other times. And there comes a time when what we know of God will be shaken, so there can be a conversion. Where what we learn and receive becomes part of our faith. Where there is a taking root in our lives. Love begins to take root in our lives. And this love brings stability. It brings stability in our thinking. It brings stability in our response to the trials of life. It's the love of God that does that. Now, I don't know if anybody here is an arborist. Is anybody an arborist or an arboriculturalist? Is there? Oh, there's actually one or two. One? Oh, I was going to say something, but now I'm having to be accountable. I don't know. I was reading about trees. I'm no arborist. But apparently there's growth that happens in trees in the winter months. You know, not outwardly, of course, but inwardly. Some trees go dormant, but some actually grow. And even some deepen in their root structure. When the warm weather comes, they are like a healthy tree. They are exploding with vegetation because of being strengthened in the difficult season. That's what I read about trees. So, you see, God wants to establish that in us, a root system. He wants to establish precious doctrine in our souls so that we can understand his purpose in our lives. We may not know all the details of the plan of God. I don't know all the details of the plan of God. Thank God I don't know what it is for me, because I don't know what I would do. But we could know his purpose. We could know what is his purpose. Paul said it, we read it together, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. In love. But not just any kind of love. This love here, this is agape love in the Greek. It's a beautiful love. It's a love that is beyond emotions. It's a love that goes beyond the circumstantial love that we may have and that we may give. It goes beyond what the one being loved desires. This is really the definition. It's doing what the one who loves sees as needed by the one being loved. I'm going to say it again, because that was, it's God doing the loving, not what man thinks he needs in love, but what God knows that man needs. What did man need? What did we need? What kind of love did we need? We needed God the Father to send down his only begotten Son as an expression, as a demonstration of his love for us, dying in our place to pay for our sin. I would never ask for that. I would not even know how to ask for that. My love is so limited. My love is, as we heard this morning by the pastor, I apologize, I don't remember his name, from Chile. What a beautiful definition he gave of phileo love. And phileo love can go a long way. but it'll never go that far where it can ask for something it doesn't even know it needs. But God, who loves us, knows the love that we need. And there was no expression in the Greek language to explain this type of love until we had the New Testament. And it was explained to us in Christ coming, in agape love. This is the love that is being rooted in us, not an emotional love. Because when I'm emotional, I can get offended. I can say, oh, I could be excited and say, Jesus, nobody's going to touch you. I will stand up for you. And then he fails. And what happens? What did he do? Oh, I'm going to go back fishing. You know, does anybody want to come fishing with me? I'm going to go fishing. And he did. He went back fishing. He was disappointed. We fail. We also get disappointed. And we can respond just like Peter. I need more than that kind of Christianity in my life. It must go beyond religious structure and maybe emotional, you know, chutzpah. Like, we don't realize it sometimes, but we can live religiously with God. We can get excited and we can get tested and we can get down, and the wheat will be sifted, but what will remain? And then we know the story, John 21. Jesus takes Peter for a walk, right? He asks him 3 times, do you want some tea? No, he didn't say that. Sorry, Pastor Matthew. Yeah, he didn't ask him that. He'd ask, he said, like, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Hey, have you ever taken a walk with Jesus? Has Jesus ever taken you for a walk? He has. He has. We could think about it for a minute in your life. Has Jesus ever taken you for a walk? He does. When you got sifted and you failed in something, you were disappointed, and Jesus comes and he says, I want to talk to your heart. I want to ask you something. Do you love me? And we can put the defense up, you know. Yeah, of course I love you, phileo. It goes very, I love you a lot. I was willing to take off a guy's head for you. I love you. Of course I love you. But he asks again, do you love me? I want to teach you about a reality of love, Jesus is saying. You know, that it goes beyond your disappointment. It goes beyond your failure. It goes beyond your sin. You know, I'm gonna show you where you are with me. And what he was doing with Peter in that walk, right? He's introducing him to agape love. The Apostle Paul explains it later. I must be rooted. I must be grounded in love, not phileo love, not a variation of love, not what the love the world talks about and they don't know what they say, but the reality of agape. And Paul said this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The wheat that remains in your life. That's the faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. That you may be able to comprehend. Oh, this is a good word. Comprehend. With all saints. Comprehend. It means that it would seize you. That it would seize you. Peter, do you love me? Oh yeah, let's talk about, I love you. Yeah, don't you know what I did? Don't you? No, do you love me? I want this love, my love, to seize you. That's what I'm praying for you for. And when you are converted, you will strengthen the brethren. How? Because when you comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of God. So these are 4 ways, 4 avenues that we will be solidified in. That's what Apostle Paul is talking about. He says the breadth, my love will give you breadth. It means the doctrine, that through doctrine I have a defense. I have a defense. I have breadth, right? I have against internalizing the pressure of life. internalizing what the stress that comes my way. He gives me a thickness in the walls of my soul, right? Walls of doctrine we've learned about. The thickness of the against the external pressures of life. The Word of God living in you and me. And by faith, Christ is rooted and grounded in me. And I am in His love. It's not just emotional love. Do you love me? Yes. Yes. Is there any breadth in you, Peter? Any breadth? Have you any doctrine? Did you learn of me? Am I untrustworthy? No. Here I am. I'm cooking you breakfast, for crying out loud. I'm here with you, cooking you breakfast. Why do you live like you are dead? Like I am dead when I am here with you. I want to preserve you. I want to give you breath in your life. And it comes from the faith, the reality of the Word of God living in you. Then he says, number two, we are rooted and grounded in this love that produces a length. What is length? But it is endurance. Endurance. My faith, by the way, is not revolving around myself. Like I am not the orbit of my faith. It's not about me. There's longevity in the Word of God for us. Before you were framed in the womb, I knew you. Longevity. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were in my thoughts. Eternity past. Longevity. Right? Revelations 13:8, Jesus Christ slain before the foundation of the world. Longevity, length. Our faith, this book has length in it. It's from everlasting to everlasting. This is why we invest our lives in this book. We invest this week. We are here. You have come. You've paid to be here. You've made arrangements to be here to hear the Word of God taught to you. From different missionary speakers, there is a longevity there. There is endurance. James said it in James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures. How can we endure? I can't endure. But for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That love. God does it. It's the endurance through the Word of God. And there are crowns at the Bema Seat judgment for those that live in this type of length. It's amazing. Then he says, number three, there's height. Height. Speaks of a height advantage. I don't have too much of that. But he said, today we heard about it. The cross. There's nothing higher than the cross in our lives. That's the high point of our life. The cross. The cross gives us power over demons, over the oppression of our soul. The cross does it. We are seated above because of the cross. Our conversation is because of the cross. Our lifestyle takes on a different lifestyle because of the cross. This is the height in our life. We are being rooted and grounded in the cross, in the height. And we are above principalities and anything that would exalt itself, project itself, lie about itself against us. We have the cross. It is the height. Whoa. We are rooted in His love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are rooted in His love. And when the sifting comes from the atmosphere, we have the height to deal with it. And we come. We are part of God's royal family. We are royalty. Right? 1 Peter 2:9. There's no one else on the planet that is the royalty but the church age believer. We are the only ones called. We are special people. We live in the church age. Why, Lord? I don't know. We were born in the church age. We are royalty. This is what Paul says. And this is what Peter agrees with. Let our conversations be in the height of the royalty we have through the cross. Okay, number four in the list that he gives here. Depth. Depth. This is when the mind of Christ is deeply rooted in our mind. Love does that. Agape does that. We can't do that. The mind of Christ gets deeply rooted, and life gets produced because of it. we develop a new conscience, a conscience that is based now on the finished work. We have a depth in our lives. We don't get rattled when we fail. We don't fall apart when things don't go according to our plan. No, we have a depth. Why? Because the mind of Christ has taken over our mind. We are living now and thinking in the mind of Christ. We have an understanding. We have a comprehension of how deep His love is for us. We don't get sifted with all the why and the why nots in our life. Right? Why did God allow this to happen? Why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't God intervene? No, those questions, they're not so powerful anymore. Because we have a depth in us. A love that surpasses knowledge. Love has knowledge, but grace gives us depth to go beyond the knowledge. It's the grace of God. So God's love gives me these four things. How about a depth to forgive someone? Can we? I can't forgive that person. No, you can't. But now you have a mind of God. You have the mind of Christ. You are being rooted and grounded. You are no longer thinking according to Adam. You can forgive because Christ has forgiven them. And He has given you now His love. Hallelujah. So there's this knowledge. And I could fail. And I could fall into sin. Heaven forbid. But it's the depth that will bring me back to confess and rebound quickly. It's only the depth that can do that. So there is knowledge, but there is a deeper love than that knowledge. And Paul says, God has given us these four avenues to solidify, for you to be solidified. Why? And when he answers that as well, he says that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. That's the purpose, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Because the fullness of God, and I'm going to finish with this, the fullness of God gives us liberty. We have liberty today. We can love one another. We're from different countries, different cultures, different languages sometimes, but we don't care. We have liberty. We can love one another. We can forgive one another. We can sing with one another. We appreciate one another. The fullness of God gives us liberty. We are now rooted and grounded. So Peter received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to fast forward in his life, as did the other disciples. And they're sitting there in Acts chapter 2. And what happens? They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are filled. And he begins to preach with liberty. And a couple of thousand get saved on the first message. Peter. It's Peter that did that. But it wasn't Peter. It was the walk he took with Jesus. It was the love of God. It was the forgiveness. It was the depth of the roots that have been built in his life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Can we picture that in our mind's eye? Can you think about that for your life? The Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:17, gives you liberty. Wow, can you imagine Peter at his request? He is asked to be crucified upside down. I'm not worthy, he says. And he died with courage. He died with boldness. He had the liberty to say upside down. I don't care. I have liberty. The Spirit of God is in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, the conversion took place. It happened. Jesus' prayer is answered. And the roots and the grounding of love ran deep in him. So, we could be frail today. Maybe we came in here frail. We barely made it. Barely stumbled in here. I know one of the guys who came up from Montreal, he came 4 hours sleep on 2 days, and he stumbled in here. We come in here, we're frail, and we could be fearful, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we could be like Thomas. I don't believe, you know, I doubt, unless I put the finger, you know, in the nail-pierced hands, unless I touch his side, I will not believe. And Jesus comes the next service. Right? What is he? He comes in. Thomas. And nobody knows if he ever touched him, if he ever touched Jesus. We don't know. It never says that in the Word of God. But we do know what he cried out. And he said, "Oh, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." Why? He was in the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. He had the liberty to believe. And he believed. Hey, do you have the liberty today? You do. You have this liberty tonight. You see, in Christianity, we can have a liberty to doubt. We could. But we also have a liberty to believe. And we can have a liberty to go out and sin. Oh, heaven forbid. No, I don't want to think about that. But we have a liberty to enter to the throne of grace. We have a liberty to live our lives in the depth of what God has done in us, in his love. We have the liberty to live a life of righteousness. So, hey, let's enjoy that this week. Let's edify one another. Let's tell each other we have liberty this week. Nobody can tell us otherwise. We have the Spirit of God in this place. The pilot didn't show up, but God showed up. And here he is. He's with us. Amen.